Amen. Amen. We're continuing this morning in a series on temptation. And this is the last of four on temptation. Last week we talked about putting off old habits, or 2 weeks ago we talked about putting off old habits and old impulses that are sort of stuck with us since our childhood. And today we're going to be talking about putting on new habits. It is 2025, right? And who's made some New Year's resolutions? Anyone? I hope so. I've made one New Year's resolution, and that is to learn how to cook some things. And people are surprised when I tell them that I can't cook anything. I cannot cook anything but eggs and cereal. But now, since the New Year's, I have cooked with my wife's coaching and hands-on support. I've cooked chili and beef stew and even a Thai beef stew yesterday that the kids said was good. So New Year's resolution, nothing, you know, it's not profound, but I need something to do in the evenings now that the kids are getting all grown up and stuff. So it's been fun. But I hope that you've made some equally good New Year's resolutions, but maybe also some more serious New Year's resolutions. And today I want to encourage you in this sermon to make a New Year's resolution about the Bible. So, but first, before we read our text, I'd like you to imagine that for the last 25 or 30 years, you have been engaged in a very, very bad physical habit. And that may not be too hard for some of us to imagine, but for the last 30 years, at midnight, at the stroke of midnight, you wake up from your slumber and you polish off a dozen donuts. And I don't have a problem with donuts, but a dozen at midnight, that's a problem, okay? But you're not done. Then a six-pack of soda, bottle of tequila, and a pack of cigarettes, right? You know, that's a lot, right? That's a lot. And especially that's a lot when you have to go back to bed. And then to finish it all off before you go back to bed, you do not brush your teeth. And you've been doing this for 25 to 30 years. But it's 2025. It's a new year. A new year has dawned, and you've decided to make some changes. You have declared that you will make some changes. You've written some of these resolutions down. You've shared them with your friends on social media. And no longer will you be engaged in such a self-destructive physical habit in the middle of the night. And so you've hired a nutritionist. You're making some steps. You've hired a workout coach. You've hired pastors don't get paid for this, but you're asking pastors for counseling, you know? What are some Bible verses that have to do with how I could change? And 2 days go by and 3 days go by. And you find that when you wake up at night, you still want to do it. You still want the donuts. You still want the tequila and the cigarettes. You want it all. You still want it. And you grow frustrated. So you call your pastor and you remind him that you had made a decision. You had decided, right? You resolved in 2025, I'm not going to be doing that anymore. And yet you still want to do it. You're frustrated. And the pastor says, and the nutritionist says, and the workout coach all say what I think is common sense. You can't do something for 25 years and expect to just change overnight. Amen? Because this behavior, this habitual behavior, which is born out of inordinate desires, has come to be a part of who you are, really. The Bible says that sin dwells in our members. Sin dwells in our body parts. And when you engage in a sin, physically or spiritually, for a long period of time, it sort of haunts you, and you're not going to change overnight. You're not going to change overnight. You're going to have to put off that old habit which belongs to your old man, and you're going to have to put on a new habit, and you're going to have to do that daily for quite some time before it starts to work its way out into your body parts and your psychology and your physiology and your emotions and your everyday actions. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I hope that everyone has made some New Year's resolutions. And I hope that you have made some, you know, strong decisions. But that's just willpower. And that's a good place to start. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the grace of God. And we need it every day for a long time if we're going to see any lasting change. And so James chapter 1 verse 21 summarizes it for us. This has been one of our key verses for this series. We're putting away and we're putting on. Therefore, put away all filthiness. Some people have been engaged in filthiness since they were a little child, and it's just a part of who they are. They're going to have to put that away, and we've talked about that in old sermons, and put away the rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive the Bible. Let me say that again. Receive the Bible. We put off wickedness, and what do we put on? And we put on the Word of God. Would you nod your head if you're tracking with me? Amen? You put on the Word of God. Is this going to take one day, Pastor Brandon? No, this is going to take a lot of days. This is going to take a habit of receiving the Word of God, the Bible, over a long period of time, in order that your soul might be saved, which is a euphemism for that you might be sanctified and made holy, and that you might be saved from that particular sin which has been haunting you for all this time. Amen? One of the primary methods of putting on new habits that are righteous and holy and pertain to the new man who is in covenant with Christ, one of the most important ways to put on the new man and to put on new habits and new impulses is by receiving the Bible. Receiving the Bible, just to say it plainly. Receiving the Word of God. Input of the Word of God. Input, input, input. So not only are you repenting and confessing and putting off the old you, you're putting on and in your mind Bible, 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 and more Bible. This is what I want for you in 2025. Amen? And I don't want you to just hear this sermon and let it wash over you. I really want you to make a decision, make a resolution to receive more Bible in 2025. And we'll talk about how we can do that in many different ways. Psalm 119, verse 11. Look what King David says. He says, I have stored up your word in my heart. I've stored it up. I've stored it up. I didn't think that I particularly needed that passage in Job that evening, but I stored it up. I really didn't need those tidbits of wisdom in the Proverbs that day, but I stored it up. I stored it up. I was sitting in church one Sunday. I was sort of lethargic and complacent, and the Word of God was not very exciting to me. And so I sort of just dozed off, and my eyelids began to close. But then I realized I need more Bible in my life. And so I woke myself up. I slapped myself around. And I woke up so that I could hear the Word of God because I needed it. And maybe I didn't need it in that moment, but I'm going to need it this year. And so I stored it up. I stored it up. I stockpiled the Word in my heart. Why, David? Why did you do that? That I might not sin against you. Because the temptations are going to come. The struggles and the frustrations are going to come. And what do you need to face off with the flesh, the world, and the devil? What do you need? You need a stockpile of ammunition. You need the Word of God stored up over a long period of time. So it's 2025, and I'm saying for your good, if you want to change, you want to feel transformation, you want to be a new you, you need to daily, weekly, monthly, come up with some plans to store up more Bible in your heart and in your mind. Amen? And I don't just mean raw Bible. Raw Bible is good. That's what I call our annual reading plan. We just read through the Bible. We're just raw Bible. You sit down, you're just reading and reading and reading. And I know of a particular person. He's not a Christian. And he got a Bible not too long ago. And he just was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Just, you know, a babe in Christ, an unbeliever, they don't exactly know what to do with raw Bible. It's like handing a baby a chicken. You know, here's your dinner. Here's a rooster, here's your dinner. or bringing a baby to a ranch. See out there in the field? That's lunch, right? What's a baby going to do with that? A baby has to have someone else process it. Amen? You can't even hand a baby a rotisserie chicken. It has to be processed even more. You have to puree the chicken. Am I right? I've never done this, but you puree the chicken so that the child might get protein. And honestly, most children just get their protein through milk from someone who has processed chicken, right? I mean, you have to break it down for babies. And so I'm not just saying, hey, everyone in Christ Church, everyone sitting here, some of you can handle straight up steak tartare, raw Bible. You can read the Bible. You got it. You've been a Christian for a very long time. You know where to go to study it. You know who to ask. But a lot of you in here are not ready for that. And so what I'm not saying is just read your Bible every day. I want you to do that. But God has promised and he has given you teachers to process the Bible for you. Amen? And it's not just me and Pastor Scott or Pastor Stewart or any other pastors or the elders. It's not just us. The Bible's very clear that a lot of ministry goes on between older men and younger men. Amen? And older women and younger women. That's informal ministry. That's the heart of the ministry in a church. And so you're not only this year going to be reading the Bible, you're going to, and receiving the Word of God. I want you to receive the relationships that God has brought into your life, because those people can process the Bible for you. They can apply it to you. They can explain it to you. They can synthesize and harmonize it for you. They can puree it and give it to you in a way that you can process at your particular stage of the Christian life. Amen? So if you're new to Christianity or new to Christ Church, this is what I'm saying very plainly. I want you to read your Bible every day. You want to change? You want some new habits? Read your Bible every day. You're not going to get all of it. That's fine. That's why you have pastors and elders, and that's why you need to make friends in the church so that you can get more word in your life. You want to sing it, right? You want to pray it. You want to read it. You want to hear it. And honestly, when I was a young baby Christian, there was one of the best tools that I ever had was the app called Sermon Audio on my phone. And I had to paint and scrape homes to make ends meet. And I just remember, I think I listened to every one of Pastor John Piper's sermons for over the course of several years, just pounding sermon after sermon after sermon. What was I consuming? Pureed protein, right? I'm consuming it processed for me. And then podcasts and then lectures and studies and reading on my own and attending church and talking to other Christians about it. More Bible. That's how you change. Amen? More Bible. More Bible. More truth. Amen. Maybe you're not a baby Christian, and maybe you've grown complacent, and your Christianity is rather sluggish and dull. You know what you need? Guess. You need more Bible. That's right. You need more Bible. You heard it here first. And it's not going to happen overnight. You've become lazy and sluggish, and you've watched Seinfeld all 9 seasons 17 times, but you've forgotten to read your Bible in the last week. You've grown sluggish and dull. And that's a bad habit you've been cultivating for a long time. You need to cultivate a new habit, and you need to stick with it every day. And I think they say it takes 21 times to form a new habit. I don't know. Just stick with it. All right. Pastor Brandon, why does receiving Bible change me? First of all, if you're a baby Christian, you don't need to worry about that. Just take in more Bible, okay? Just listen. You're either going to listen to me or you're not going to listen to me, okay? But if you're here and you want to learn some things, you want to listen, and raise your hand if you're an older Christian and you can testify. Anybody? All right, we have 4 people. Thanks for participating, class. All right? You're on your own with this one, right? But there is a reason why receiving more Bible changes you, and that's because the truth sets you free. Now, what does that mean? You want me to process this for you? It sets you free from the tyranny of your own inordinate desires in your heart. It sets you free from the sin that so easily besets you and weighs you down all the time. It sets you free from those wicked thoughts that just keep popping in your head that you hate and you detest, but you don't want in your life. It sets you free from this. It sets you free not only from sin and the devil and his temptation and the pressures of the world. It sets you free from the lust for the praises of men. It sets you free from all the tyrannies that this world offers. It sets you free from those legalistic jerks that make up rules and judge you. It sets you free from those because you got Bible. You know what you stand on. You know the truth, and you don't care what they judge you and say about you. You don't care. It sets you free, 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 free. How can the Bible change me? Because it sets you free. I hope that makes sense. But also, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. What that means is that when God sends the Spirit into your life, he normally mediates his actions in your life with an instrument or with a tool, with a sword. He comes to you with a sword, and the sword is the Bible. If you're required to participate with it some. The more Bible you get, the more Spirit you're getting, because the Bible is the instrument or the tool that the Spirit uses to change you. Jeremiah 23:29, here's another answer. Why does taking in more Bible change me? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? You're just taking in a little Bible every day. You're hearing a sermon, you listen to a podcast, you're having a conversation on the phone with a friend, you're reading a text exchange, you're reading Bible, and you don't understand that the rocks in your heart are being broken into pieces. Slowly but surely, it doesn't happen overnight. Amen? Romans 10:17, and here's the most specific answer. Why does taking in more Bible change me into the new man that I'm called to be? Because faith comes from hearing. Hearing what, Pastor? Hearing the Bible. Hearing through the word of Christ. God gives us faith. Faith is a gift that is clear in Scripture, and he gives it typically through the Bible. So as you are reading the Bible, studying the Bible, learning the Bible, hearing the Bible, talking about the Bible, you find yourself believing things you didn't once believe, and you find yourselves believing more firmly things you just sort of believed. As you receive more Bible, your grip gets stronger and stronger on Christ and on what he has accomplished and what he has promised. Faith is produced through the Word of God. And faith is the victory which overcomes all your enemies. Amen? Jesus and his disciples were on the boat, and they were on the Sea of Galilee, and the waves came and the storm raged. And what was Jesus doing in the boat?
Sleeping.
What were the disciples doing? They were like you when you check your bank statement. They were hysterical, and they were anxious, and they were running around like chickens with their heads cut off, and they were a little judgy. You know, Master, it seems like you don't like us right now. You don't love us enough. This is bad. You don't tell Jesus he doesn't love you. What do you know? Okay? Why did they have anxiety? Why did they have hysteria? Why were they going about doing all sorts of things that were not going to make anything better? Why were they judging Jesus and not sleeping with him in peace and in comfort and tranquility? Well, Jesus woke up and he told them in verse 26 of Matthew 8, he said, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Their anxiety, their hysteria, their condemnation of Jesus, and their questioning of his actions in their life all flowed from one problem: a lack of faith. You want your anxieties to change, your emotions to change, your thoughts to change, your actions to change, you need more faith. Faith is the victory. You need more faith. And to get more faith, you need more word. You see how this works? I'm trying to convince you to take me up on the challenge. 2025. How did the devil tempt Eve? He showed her the forbidden fruit. But then what else did he do? He spoke to her messages, words. Much of spiritual battle is a battle of words, a battle of messages. The word angel in the Bible means messenger, because they speak messages, and God speaks messages, and we receive messages, and messages change our perspective. What Paul calls it, it renews our mind. It renews our mind. What the devil was doing was corrupting her mind, corrupting her perspective. putting doubts into her heart, destroying her faith. And once he did that, then the fruit became much more delectable. Make sense? Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How can we be transformed? By the renewal of your mind. By the renewal of your mind. Ephesians 4, 22. This is what we're supposed to do, to put off our old selves, which belong to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to put on the new self. So it's about having your mind renewed, and your mind is renewed by the Bible. And your little kid is panicked and they're anxious and they're in their room crying and throwing a temper tantrum because they think there's a monster in the closet. So what do? You can tell them there's not a monster in the closet, sure, right? But you go in there and you turn on the lights so that they can get a new, fresh, truthful perspective about the reality of the room. And you open up the closet, you see, no monsters. It's because your perspective changes your emotions, and it changes your behavior, and it changes your actions, and it will change your habits over a long period of time. More Bible, changed life over time, daily by daily. Amen? This is why you need habits in 2025 of taking in more word. I'd like to see you at Sunday school. We won't all fit, but I'd like to see you get another 50 hours of Bible instruction in your life just for waking up a little bit extra. I'd like to see that. That would be a good habit. That would be a good habit. Amen? And if you're new to this church, listen, you're changing everything already. Now you're driving to a new part of town. You're meeting all these new weird people. That's awkward. That's difficult. You might as well just rip the bandage off. Just go ahead. Go Bible. Go full on Bible study, Sunday school, right? Prayer meetings, women's book studies. Since you're changing stuff, you might as well just change everything, right? And stay with it all year long, 2025. And this is why at Christchurch, guys, we got to protect the truth. Because the truth sets us free, and falsehood enslaves us. We have to protect the truth, and we have to guard it as the good deposit it is. And this is why Christchurch, this is why we need kids in our church right now, and teenagers in our church right now, who are preparing themselves and being prepared by the Lord to protect the truth, and to preach the truth, and to process the truth for the next generation. We need these people in our church, and we need to be investing in them over a long period of time. Amen? And this is why you need to give your children a Christian education, because spiritual warfare is largely a war of messages in the mind. They need a Christian education, not an apostate education, not a humanistic education. They need a Christian education because how you think will largely affect how you behave. And this is why you need to stop saying false stuff to yourself. You know, James says the tongue is a rudder. You understand what a rudder is? It steers the ship. You're like, no, my tongue doesn't steer the ship. My reason and my intellectual prowess, that's what determines where I go in life. That's not what James says. No, James says what's steering your life and sending you the direction is what you keep saying out of your mouth. That's important. It's important. Stop saying stuff that's not true. I guess God just doesn't love me anymore. You know, when it rains, it pours. It's not true. Have you read the Bible? God came to earth and shed his blood in order that you might spend eternity with him in heaven. He loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Don't say those lies to yourself. Don't say those lies. I guess I just don't deserve friends. Why would you say things like that? Don't say that. That's going to affect you negatively. Say Bible to yourself. When the devil came to Jesus and tempted him, Jesus had a Bible verse ready. He spoke truth because truth conforms us. Truth changes us. Truth gives us hope, not lies. Amen? And protect your kids from social media. It's a whole lot of messages, and it's a powerful medium. And it's designed to change and to alter perspectives and minds, which alter behavior. More Bible, less social media, especially for your children. Amen. It's 2025. I like it. Who could argue with that, really? Joshua 1:8. Let me show you this. You know, I got a little timer now. Y'all didn't know this. Because y'all have been criticizing me for not preaching long enough. It's true. Okay, Joshua 1:8, listen. So we're reading more Bible. We're receiving more Bible. We're listening to more sermons. We're trying to fight temptation. We're trying to change some bad habits, okay? We're doing all of that. But now look at what he says here. He says, this book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, so that you might not sin. Does everyone say that? See that? And also, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You want good success? You want to be prosperous? You want to be blessed? You want to have a good life? Who's having a good life? I'm having a good life. It's because of Jesus and his Bible to me. Amen? I want to have a good life. You want to have a good life? You want to be careful to do what is written in it? You need to be meditating on the Bible day and night. Meditating is a little different than reading. Meditating is reflecting. And here's what I would suggest. What is your problem that you've been dealing with, you want to be done with in 2025? You just can't seem to have a friend that's not rich. How about that one? You know, you don't hear that one too often. I really get along with rich people, like, and especially if they're pretty. And boy, I enjoy those relationships. But my ugly poor friends, I don't even count them as friends. I have a problem. I need to stop this. You know, I feel special and I feel included when my rich, attractive people include me. Okay, that's a problem. That's partiality. It's just bad on many levels. So you know what you need to do? You need to find some Bible verses that talk about partiality, that talk about insecurity, that talk about the love of money, that talk about self-image. And you need to find some Bible verses, and I can help you with that. And then you need to meditate on those verses every day, on those verses. See what I'm saying? You say, well, what I'm actually struggling with is when I have bouts of anxiety, I eat everything in the kitchen, all right? We got to get some Bible verses on that, amen? You know, what I struggle with is bitterness. Anytime I hear just the slightest inkling of someone bringing up my name, I automatically assume they hate me, and there it goes again. Nobody, I can never have a friend, and I'm suspicious of them, and I condemn them. I'm just a bitter Betty, and I don't want to be, and so we're going to find some verses on how to deal with that, amen? Or maybe it's you're stingy, you can't give money, you can't tithe because you're always afraid of not having enough money. I mean, we could do this all day, right? All right, maybe we'll just go around the room. But no, I need you to find the things you want to change about yourself that you've been doing since you were a baby. And I want you to find verses on those things, and I want you to meditate on them every day. Okay, so we're taking in raw Bible, but we're also meditating on key passages of the Bible. That's important. And I want you to memorize some of those. Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, had the verse right there. He had the verse. John Piper called those fighter verses, and I like that. You just have fighter verses. You want to change? You got to do the work. You got to do the work. Ask the nutritionist. Ask the workout coach. Ask the biblical counselor. You got to put in the work. It's not going to happen overnight. So you get those cards that talk about, I'm often exploding in anger. We're going to talk about, what does the Bible say about exploding in anger? You're going to say what you always say. Well, that's just the way I was raised. No, you're going to stop saying stuff like that because Jesus wants to change you, okay? And you're going to stop saying those things, and you're going to put Bible verses on there. With God, all things are possible. I don't have to hire a sheetrock man every month anymore because I'm not going to explode in anger on people, right? I'm going to have these verses and I'm going to have them in my car. I'm going to write them on the mirror in my bathroom and I'm going to meditate on them and I'm going to memorize them and I'm going to put in the work in 2025 so that I might change. And then last but not least, and this is going to be fresh, even for those of you who have been Christians a long time, you need to see this. It's James chapter 1, verse 21. We're reading the Bible. We're meditating on it. We're memorizing it. But so far, that's all in the mind and the heart. We need to do more than that. Look what James says. He says, put away all filthiness, that's the putting away, and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive the Bible, which is able to save your souls, if you'll cooperate. If you'll do the work. Then look at right the very next verse. The very next verse. Look at what it is. Be a doer of the word. and not just to hear. Okay, now you see this is important. I want you to meditate. I want you to memorize. I want you to read. I want you to hear. But that hearing is not enough. You've got to do. You've got to do. You've got to do the work. Amen? What are you talking about? I'll give you an example. Look right here, Philippians 4, 6. You got a problem with anxiety? Right? Who doesn't these days, right? Problem with fear. You can't do the right thing because you're overcome by fear all the time. Right? Don't be anxious about anything, he says. You want to memorize that, amen? You want to meditate on that every day. You want to go to your Bible study tools on the internet and you need to look up parallel passages, cross references that are similar to this. You need to be meditating, memorizing all that. But then look what he says. But then in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now he's telling you what to do. Now this is a little bit more. What are you going to do? You're going to make a list of the things you're thankful for. And you're going to start praying those to God. Thank you for this and thank you for that. And you're going to also make a list of all the things you would like. And you're going to send those up into heaven instead of dwelling on them and meditating on them in your mind at 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen? So when you're laying there in bed and you're totally overcome with anxiety, you're going to meditate on your verses. You're going to whip out some of those memorized verses. And you're going to get up out of your bed. You're going to get on your knees and you're going to start thanking God. And you're going to start asking him for stuff. And in one day, you'll be better. No. It's going to take a long time. How long is it going to take? I don't know. It's going to take a long time, though. We're changing lifelong habits, and it's going to take a long time. If you put in the work, it will work. God promises it. Amen? There's no pill you can take. There's no easy way out. Amen. I wish. I've always said this. I think just now it has come to me as a little more significant, but I've always said, and I've always been a little frustrated by the fact that down here in this little waiting room we call, life, because I know that when we go to heaven, we'll be perfect, right? Fully glorified, completely and saved from sin to the uttermost. Down here in this little waiting room, waiting to see the doctor to get our perfect health, we have to fight with sin and we have to struggle against sin for a long time. I would like to be able to give the doctor to give me one of those forms, you fill out right before you go in to see him. And I would like God to hand me this form and says, would you like to be cured of all your sin right now so that you never sin ever again? Check, right? Check yes or no, yes, right? Who wouldn't do that? Why, God, why can't I just check that box? You hate the sin. I hate the sin. I'm over it. Why can't I just check the box and you just fix me like that? You're going to fix me one day. Why not just fix me right now? Totally fix me right now. It's because he wants you to put in the work. I don't exactly know why, but in his wisdom, he wants you to put in the work over an extended period of time. He wants you to grow in that way. Amen? All right, so don't let this moment pass you by. I pray and I ask that today you would really make a conscious effort. Write some stuff down. What do you need to change in 2025? And how can you do that by putting on the word of God in your everyday life? Amen. Let's all stand.